Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSC Talk Radio. It's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today, and I'm excited. She's a little late. She's a week late being with us this month, but we gave her a reprieve because she was going on a little vacation. We have Marita Noon with her energy report here with us today. Marita, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. I had a great vacation, so I appreciate you giving me a little bit of flexibility in the schedule.
I'm generous, aren't I?
Yeah, well, it was a real vacation for me. One, I don't think I've taken a vacation like that in I don't know how many years, where I didn't write a column. I pre-wrote my column for last week, and I didn't write a column. I didn't do any radio interviews, and I just really had a real vacation, and it was fabulous.
And are you recharged?
Yes.
I should say re-energized.
Well, recharge is okay, too. You know, that has to do with energy. When we recharge our batteries, we plug them into the wall. So, yeah, I'm plugged in. So, yeah, I had a great time, but I'm happy to be back.
Well, awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had that time. I know I've been wanting one and needing one for a long time, and it's not going to come for a while. But anyway, we're just going to have to deal with it.
I had someone who was a fan of my work who provided lodging for me. And
awesome.
That's what kind of forced my hand. It was too good a deal to pass up.
Well, you deserved it. You've been through an awful lot in the last few years, and you deserved it. You've got to recharge and regroup just so you can stay strong and focused. You have lots of energy, but even the energy bunny needs to recharge once in a while. So
that's it. Yep.
Well, I have your articles from last month, and I thought, well, we'll just start at the very beginning. I've got the first one here from November the 9th. And actually, there's another article that you wrote that kind of goes along with it, and one that I read this morning from another source. But your article from November 9th is on climate change and the Catholic leadership.
Yes.
And I thought we would visit that just a little bit.
Yeah, and we might want to tie in the one I wrote a couple weeks later.
That's what I have in my hand here.
In the evangelical Christian community, because they definitely tie in, though I didn't know about the later one when I wrote the earlier one. But as you know, Beth Ann, I like to address topics that are not widely covered in other sources, because I feel like if other people with bigger microphones are covering them, there's no reason for me to address that. And this is one of those. It is a really undercovered story, and that is that Catholic bishops got together and which I frankly find hard to believe, but that's what the news story said, got together, Catholic bishops from around the world got together in Rome and produced a document calling for the decarbonization of the world and calling for supporting what's going on in Paris actually right now. And so that was a pretty shocking thing that they've gone that route and down that path.
You know, with the religion, with them trying to pull the churches in, and your second column with that regarding the green smuggle.
Right.
It doesn't really, I mean, it sort of surprises me, but not really, because we've seen in history where they've gone to the churches to try and get to the people. And they did that way back, and we won't go on that topic, but I'm just going to throw this out there. They did that way back when they were trying to push for abortion and Planned Parenthood. They went to the churches. The churches in the Deep South. And so it's not really a surprise that they would use the churches to push an agenda.
Well, and unfortunately, they've been successful with the leadership of the Catholic Church. Now, when I wrote that piece, I had many people email me and say, you know, as a Catholic, I cannot support this. So, you know, they wanted to make sure that I was aware that all Catholics have not signed on to this. But some of the leadership of the Catholic Church has, in fact, a friend of mine who works for the power company in New Mexico and is the coal buyer for the power company in New Mexico. He sent me an email saying, I refuse to go to confession for providing, I don't remember his exact words, I could pull it up during the break, but he said something like, I refuse to go to confession for providing low-cost energy that helps people heat their homes, you know, that kind of, that was the theme of it. And I had other people that work in the coal business and that are Catholic that responded and are like, you know, I can't endorse this. But they've been successful, obviously, with the Catholic Church. But as you mentioned about the smuggling idea, the column that I wrote on that topic, that they have not been successful with the evangelical churches, though they have tried. And in fact, the report that I became aware of later, a couple weeks later, talks about how they have failed in the evangelical community and what they can do, hopefully, differently in the future to be more effective in really infiltrating the church. And one of the things they say is that, unfortunately, fortunately, in their perspective, I'm talking about the climate campaigners, one of the things they say is that, unfortunately, the evangelical church is decentralized, unlike the Catholic Church. So what that did to me is reveal that they had an organized campaign to infiltrate the Catholic Church leadership, just like the campaign to even infiltrate the evangelical churches. And they're unhappy because the evangelical community doesn't have a pope, doesn't have bishops, because when they tried to infiltrate the evangelical community, they went for, as the report states, the evangelical elites, thinking that the so-called evangelical elites, and these are professors or presidents of Christian colleges, people like Pat Robertson from CBN, people like Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and is the pastor at Saddleback Community Church, one of the mega churches in California. They went after these evangelical elites in thinking that the flock would faithfully follow, and found that that was not the case. So obviously they went after the Catholic Church, had success there with the leadership, but could not have that same level of success with the evangelical community, because there is not that one voice that speaks for the church.
They're a little bit more independent, especially when you talk about, like, the Bible Belt where I live in. It's, you know, got a lot of, there's a lot of Methodists and UCC in that, but there's a lot of Southern Baptists. And they're,
right,
the Southern Baptist Church and some of the other denominations, they're more independent, you know, where they don't answer to anybody. They have their own little constitution within the church and bylaws and all that kind of thing. They have guidelines they follow from the higher up, but they don't really cater to that. They don't go to them, so they don't really go to that. So they wouldn't necessarily cater to. Go ahead.
The big thing that I found, you know, as I read this report, and this report was put out by a group called New America, and they're looking at, as they call it, the gospel of climate change. And the report is kind of a post-mortem of why they failed. And we'll finish that when we come back.
Oh, yeah, we're going into a break. We will open up the phone lines at 877-895-5410. I'm visiting today. It's our monthly energy report with Marita Noon. And you can visit her website. And she writes for all kinds of different entities. But you can visit her website at energymakesamericagreat.org. And you can visit my website and just click on the icon and go straight there. Marita and Beth Ann will be right back.
Did you know that whether you're making a phone call, texting a friend, or checking email, you can be making a difference for CSE Talk Radio? That's right. When you sign up for wireless service from our friends at Affinity 4, not only do you receive affordable rate plans with nationwide coverage on one of America's largest wireless networks, you'll also be supporting CSE Talk Radio through Affinity 4's Give Back program. Affinity 4 Wireless offers a variety of phones from leading manufacturers, and you can choose from individual and shared plans to meet your needs. And you can keep your same phone number. Call 1-800-311-2021 today and let the Affinity 4 customer service team help you select the best plan and phone for your needs. And remember, when you sign up for any of Affinity 4's products and services, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to CSC Talk Radio. Don't wait. Call today, 1-800-311-2021, and ask about their current wireless promotions, including a free month of service and free phone offers. That's 1-800-311-2021.
A girl needs accessories. So does a website these days. It's not enough to have just one accessory either. CSC Talk Radio is excited to announce we have an app for that. You can now listen to CSC Talk Radio easily on your smartphones, Android or iPhone. We have an app for that. Share this app-portant news with your friends and family. They can now join in the common sense. Calling all patriots. We have an app for that. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Listen to live streaming or the show's podcast designed for Triple L. Listening later leisurely. Accessories are necessary. Join CSC Talk Radio on your phone. We've accessorized. Visit csctalkradio.com and download the app. Working with technology to bring America home. We have an app for that. csctalkradio.com. csctalkradio.com.
You stroll out to the barn to check on those calves, kids, or lambs, and at first glance, you know something is not right. A weak kid, a calf who cannot nurse, or a ewe who does not have enough colostrum for her newborn lambs. Your role switches from caretaker to rescuer. In these situations, minutes count. Having the right products on hand is vitally important. Visit the animal care category at HambyDairySupply.com to stock up on your medical needs. At Hamby Dairy Supply, they understand because their family has been raising livestock since 1954. With their years of experience, they can help you with your needs, including planning for those livestock emergencies. Visit HambyDairySupply.com for colostrum, Energy Plus energy supplements, Formula 911, and a rest drench product. Stock up today and be prepared. H-A-M-B-Y, DairySupply.com, or give them a call at 1-800-306-8937. And we have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth, and I'm visiting today with Marita Noon. We've got some, I thank my producer. He's thrown in some Christmas music for us this week, and I'm really loving it. And that one's a little jazzy. I've done some directing in the past, Marita, and I directed a Christmas musical at the church I was at the time, and it was called Swing Christmas, and it was all your favorites in the hymns, but they were put to swing music, and it was really a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. My mother used to do a lot of, she was a high school speech and drama teacher and used to do a lot of directing, so I know how much work goes into that.
A lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. We had a blast with it. Anyway, back to your articles. We were talking about the churches and how they're trying to infiltrate that, and I wanted to add, you had two of your articles. I usually have a favorite, and my favorite was the green smuggle and then the one on fracking, which we'll get into in just a little bit. But let's get back to the churches with this.
Yeah, and I think this is such an important topic because it's what it really shows, and I appreciate you saying that was your favorite because it was a little bit risky for me to write because generally I stick to energy issues and my personal faith issues are not a part of that. And in this particular piece, they merged, and I was a little, you know, like I said, it was a little risky for me. I really debated because I had about five things I was thinking of writing on that very week, but this was the one that was my heart. And this report from this group New America that I mentioned shows that they have the climate funders, as they're not the environmental funders, as they repeatedly refer to them. They never say who they are in this report, but they repeatedly refer to these environmental funders, and it shows that they have an organized and well-funded plan to infiltrate the Christian church. And it shows very clearly in this report, and this report is bemoaning the fact that they lost, that they have been unsuccessful in infiltrating the church, and the report concludes with, here's what we should do going forward to be able to be more successful in infiltrating the church. And again, they don't use the term infiltrate, but that's, when you read the report, that's clearly what they're doing. And they sat down and had a meeting, literally, and went, okay, why can't we get Republicans on board with this climate change issue? And basically they concluded, because most evangelicals are Republican. And so they decided, if we can get the evangelical community on board, we can then change the narrative in the Republican Party, and therefore move legislation in Washington, D.C. So in short, they're trying to literally use the evangelical community to push the legislation that they want to get through on climate change specifically.
Isn't that interesting? They just always got some kind of an angle that they're going to be working.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found most interesting is that one of the conclusions was they don't literally, quote unquote, understand the evangelical community. And, you know, so I put in my column that the evangelical community is not decentralized as they were bemoaning, but that we are centered around the Bible. And that we believe as evangelical Christians what the Bible actually says. And the Bible says that God created the earth, and that the earth is for man, not the other way around. And when you believe that God created the earth, as evangelical Christians do, you have to say to yourself, okay, so then why did God put oil, gas, coal, and uranium under the earth, under our feet? Why didn't he just make it all dirt? And so these things that God created are what they are now trying to demonize today. And obviously the evangelical community has not fallen for that.
No, they haven't fallen for it completely, but there are a few that are there. They're leaning that way, and you hear it and you see it. You see it in some of the curriculum. I have studied that and reported from that here a while back. Even in the Southern Baptist, we've seen some of the literature come out that or propaganda that comes out that some of them are falling for it, and they're trying to manipulate it and get it into the arena there, and most of them aren't accepting it. They're throwing it out of the Sunday school classes.
The key thing to realize is what they've done as part of their plan,
yes,
is that they kind of changed the verbiage to be something to be attractive to the evangelical community. Instead of calling it environmentalism, instead of calling it climate change, they call it creation care.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners that are churchgoers need to be aware of that's the ploy. That, you know, and of course all of us want to care for God's creation. We want to care for the earth. But that's how they've kind of manipulated the messaging to be attractive by saying, well, this is creation care. We need to care for God's creation. And I think one of the key things to me in what I wrote is where I quote this Episcopal a reverend, a woman in Georgia, who is the executive director of Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, and people that should check out the National Interfaith Power and Light website, where they have a stained glass window as a logo, and instead of a cross, in the stained glass window, they have a wind turbine. But this woman talks about how she had got several Southern Baptist churches to allow her to come into the church to teach in their small groups how to save energy and money at home. And then she says that she, through doing that, she was able to smuggle the message into the church. And that was her word choice, not mine.
Well, they have been infiltrating it somewhat, and I know in this area, of course, I'm in a really rural area. It's not as easily done because they're out there in the nature all the time. You know, it's rural America with the farmers and the ranchers and a lot of people that are either from that or still on that. And so they're not fooling everybody, but they are trying to infiltrate it, and it's easier. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and it's easy to get involved in that because, like you said, we do want to be good stewards, and the farmers and the ranchers, they are good stewards of the land.
Certainly, because if they're not, they have no future.
That's right. But so naming it, you know, creation care is, it's, you know, it's all in the language and how you say things. It's the same thing with Agenda 21. You've got to watch for that language. So when you see that,
right. You
know some propaganda is coming right behind it.
Well, let's be aware.
Yeah, let's move on and talk about some of your next ones. Oh, well, let's talk about the ethanol one. We'll get to my favorite later. Let's talk about the ethanol.
I thought your favorite was the evangelical one.
I had two favorites.
Okay,
I had two favorites.
Right.
That was one, and the other one was on fracking, and I really enjoyed that. I liked your pictures, too. Thanks for sharing those.
Well, good.
So let's talk about the ethanol first, and then we'll hit the fracking, because I really wanted to talk about that one as well.
Well, the ethanol situation, poor. You know, I kind of feel bad, in all seriousness, because a lot of farmers have, done well because of the government mandating ethanol. The problem is that when you do that, you're banking on a false market. It's not a real market. It's a market created by the government, and just as the government giveth, it can also take away. And so we have a requirement, which happened by November 30th, the EPA is required to announce what are the blending, how much ethanol has to be blended into the fuel supply for the next year. And it's a mess, because what has happened is back when Congress passed the mandate for ethanol, which is the renewable fuel standard, mm-hmm. that says you have to have a certain amount of ethanol, they based this on an assumption that Americans were going to continue to use and consume more fuel. So instead of saying we need to have, say, 10% ethanol in our gasoline, they actually said you have to have X number of gallons of ethanol in your gasoline, and it's an ever-growing amount. Well, what's happened is as we drive less, meeting that has become very difficult.
Yes, and it's. We'll talk about that when we come back, because I thought you hit some really good points in your article with that. We're going into a break. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. We're meeting today. It's our monthly energy report from Marita Noon, and we will be right back.
I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Mm-hmm.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now
very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-473-7921, 800-473-7921.
Alexis de Tocqueville once stated, "America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." To know where we are going, we must remember from whence we came. Looking back in our American history, we can see the hand of God. He wrought many miracles in our nation and brought us through much to be a nation under Him, a nation under God. We've forgotten from whence we came. America has lost her greatness. America ceases to be good because we've forgotten our God, who is all that is good. Sue and Bill Federer have compiled 32 truths, which in our history show the hand of God, His answered prayers, His miracles, and His mercy on our nation. For only $22, Miracles in American History will encourage and uplift you. Order Miracles in American History. Send $22 to CSC Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com.
What every American needs to know about the Quran, the history of Islam and the United States. Bill Federer has done it again. He makes history come to life, and current events all connect that to history. Sultans conquered the 1,000-year-old Byzantine city of Constantinople. Jefferson sent Marines to stop the Muslim Barbary pirates of Algiers and Tripoli. Woodrow Wilson tried saving millions of Americans killed in Turkey. History that affects you and me today. In 2006, Keith Ellison was the first Muslim elected to the U.S. Congress. He swore on a Quran. What does this mean? Educate and activate. We shouldn't form opinion or initiate actions before we know the truth. Purchase your copy of What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran today. Send $22 to CSE Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order on the website at csctalkradio.com. That's $22 for the history of Islam and the United States.
Wow, did you see that? I think somebody had some work done, like a facelift. No, not Beth Ann, her website. Yep, CSC Talk Radio has had a facelift for sure. A new logo and a new fresh look. Visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio is a coalition of conversations between Beth Ann, you, and all America. So the look incorporates all America, from sea to shining sea. Beth Ann is truly in the middle of the nation, reaching out to all America as she continues her journey to bring America home. Join in the conquest for truth on CSC Talk Radio. In the next several months, CSC Talk Radio will be reaching out in different ways to help keep you informed. Get involved and share the education. As always, Beth Ann needs your help and support. Visit the website. Support our sponsors. Join the show on Facebook. Follow Beth Ann on Twitter. Contribute as you can. Whether on air, online, or social media, we need all avenues as we bring in the fold and bring America home.
Return to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann, and we're visiting today. We have our monthly energy report from Marita Noon. And as we were going into the break, we were just finishing up, but we were talking about the ethanol article that you wrote and how it's been losing friends. And, you know, you made some good parallels in there as to what is actually going. It's kind of a, kind of got a racket going.
Well, yeah, it is, and the ethanol industry is quick to point out that they do not get any subsidies, and that is true. Their subsidy, they used to get subsidies, and the subsidies were taken away, I believe, close to 10 years ago at this point, but they actually have something even better, and that is a law that requires the use of their products. So instead of saying, well, let's see if this is a good product, you know, if it's the better mousetrap, and the market will go for it, instead of having to be good and effective, they have a mandate in the form of the Renewable Fuel Standard that says that, you know, as I said before, increasing amounts of ethanol must be blended in to our nation's fuel supply. And because we are driving more energy efficient cars, and unfortunately because of the bad economy and so many people out of work, we're actually driving less. And so the combination of Americans driving less and our cars getting better mileage, that means we are using less gasoline, which is in fact part of the crude oil glut that we're experiencing, which is a different topic, but they do connect there. And because of that, in order to meet the rules of this law that say you have to have more and more ethanol, we've got some real problems with the whole system. And so Democrats and Republicans alike have come on board and saying we need to change this law. We need to make changes in this particular problem.
And, of course, we talked about subsidies in this and everything as well. And it's a really great article. And I did post it out, and I'll do it again. I'll take all four of these articles, and we'll repost them so that everybody can see them out there on CSE Talk Radio on our Facebook page. And I'll put them on the website as well.
Yeah, and if we have time, I want to mention that one of the kind of my opening and closing point of this is that Ben Carson, you may recall back, and I believe it was May, I wrote a letter specifically to Ben Carson calling him out on his support of ethanol. And back in late October at the CNBC debate, he came out, or was it the CNN? Sorry, yeah, no, it was CNBC debate. He came out saying that he studied the situation and he no longer supports ethanol the incentives, the mandates, and he's reversed his position, and that's interesting because one of the things that's always been so difficult in changing this law is that Iowa, where the first caucuses are, is a huge corn growing state, and so no politician has ever felt like they could come out against the ethanol mandate, especially anyone with presidential aspirations. And Ben Carson, well, he has now dropped in the polls. It has nothing to do with his ethanol stand. He made this statement about ethanol, and his poll numbers stayed strong. Now, they've dropped, as I said, because of international stuff. But following his ethanol statements, his poll numbers stayed strong.
Well, and I think, too, you know, he's the kind of guy that when he does do some studying, he can... He's got some common sense, and he's got a brain in his head, so he can make sense of it, so he knows what...
Personally, I hope his poll numbers pick back up, because I believe that while he does not have perhaps the foreign policy credentials that some of the other candidates have, as you said, he is a smart man, and he will surround himself with people who are strong and knowledgeable. He's not someone who's arrogant and wants to be a know-it-all. He's willing to say, you know, I don't know this, but I'll
find it
out.
Yeah, I'll do some study and I'll research it. Well, then my next favorite, I think this might have been my favorite, really, is the last one that I got from you this last month in November, and it's about fracking in the water. And she did a lot of personal research on this, and she always does. But actually, I enjoyed the pictures that you took and sent along with that. And I wanted you to kind of tell about your adventure with this.
Yeah, and this obviously, because I had a lot of personal involvement with this one, it was a favorite for me as well. And that was early in November. I had the opportunity to go to Pecos, Texas, which is kind of down south and west of Midland, almost to New Mexico. And the Texas A&M has agricultural research facility there. And for the first time ever, they are actually doing a very carefully planned, documented study where they're growing a cotton crop, and we're growing this crop using well water, the standard water that is used in the agricultural fields in West Texas. And then they're also side by side growing the crop using recycled water from the oil industry. Now, that includes water that is used in hydraulic fracturing, and it also includes what they call produced water. And I didn't realize this, and I may have mentioned this last month, but until I wrote the piece on the earthquakes and the disposal wells in Oklahoma, I did not realize, and, you know, I'm kind of like Ben Carson. I'm not ashamed to say when I don't know something. And I don't come from the oil industry. I come from a communications background, so I'm constantly learning. But I did not realize until I wrote that piece that when one barrel of oil comes up out of the ground, it can bring with it as much as 10 barrels of nasty water. Realizing that oil comes from decomposing matter, it produces oil, but it also has water with it, and the water that comes up from deep under the ground with the oil is nasty water. The salt content in that water is often 5 times what you find in ocean water. So they've been working on recycling this water and purifying this water for a while. It's been several years that we've had successful technologies to recycle this water, and then they reuse it in fracking. But they're now doing this test where they're growing crops using this purified water. And they harvested the crop just a week or so ago in the end of November. And the gal, the PhD person who's her expertise is in soil and fertility, she says that the initial testing or the initial observations appear that the cotton grown using the recycled water is as healthy, if not healthier, as the cotton grown using the well water. So this could be a huge breakthrough. They're going to do soil analysis. They're going to test the strength of the cotton. They've got a lot more to do still. But this could be a huge help to areas in the arid Southwest where we have a lot of oil exploration going on along with agriculture, but have a real water shortage. So they can now take that water from underground, purify it to the point that it can be used to grow crops. So hopefully next year they're going to get some more companies involved, and they're going to do a bigger study where they test, because they blended this recycled water with the well water in a ratio of 4 to 1, 4 parts well water, 1 part recycled water. So obviously the next step is to do, you know, 3 parts well water, 1 part recycled water, 2 parts well water, you know, and so forth, to see even 100% recycled water where this can go. And in Texas, the law does not allow recycled water for agriculture use, and they're hoping that by the time the legislature meets in 2017 that they'll be able to have that law reversed.
I was going to say that doesn't make sense to me, but we'll talk about that when we come back from this break. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. The lines are open if you want to give us a call at 877-895-5410. I'm visiting today with our energy reporter, Marita Noon, and we will be right back.
You a David. There are wolves, sheep, and sheepdog. And then there are shepherds. Just as young King David faced the impossible battle with the feared giant Goliath, we face giants today as well. Do we run or do we stand our ground? Our federal government is the epitome of corruption. Abuse of power and deceit have enslaved we the people. Property rights are non-existent. Gun owners are treated as terrorists. Citizens are plundered and reaped of rights and liberties. Is there a solution? Yes, you are the solution. You, the patriotic, the local peace officer, you, the elected official, the county sheriff. You must stand with faith, humility, and the strength of a warrior, as young David did. You are the solution. Order the book, Are You a David, by Sheriff Mack. Go to csetalkradio.com or send $15 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Be a shepherd in your community. csetalkradio.com. GoldAndSilver.com.
Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cedarstrom a friend and honored Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio. A Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty, Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience in gold and silver trading be your investment guide, from precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio, and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. BioAg, working with nature naturally. CSE Talk Radio is excited to welcome Murray Bast with BioAg as a new common sense sponsor in natural agriculture. BioAg consultants and distributors are devoted. They understand working with nature. Since 1982, their mission has been to produce and supply products and services that warrant and support true sustainable agriculture. They've done the research. BioAg is a major supplier of natural products and services for livestock and crop production. Visit bio-ag.com and research for yourself. Tell your local farm and home suppliers to become BioAg distributors. From chelate minerals, vitamins, and more, bio-ag.com has all the products you need. Work with nature naturally to improve your bottom line as well as improve your products and health. Serving all of North America, visit bio-ag.com or just give them a call at 1-800-363-5278.
It was once said, the pen is mightier than the sword. We're living in a time now that is demanding the Republic to speak up. Grievances need to be put before our elected officials. They need to hear from you. Mainstream media isn't telling the constitutional truth about issues in this nation. There's an agenda afoot that's being used against we the people. Commit now to send at least one of your representatives the pen. There will be no excuse for their lack of knowledge. Pick your state or national representative and senators, or even your governor. It's time to bring common sense back into our governing. Let the Republic be heard. The Pen is a bi-monthly publication for only $24.95. Order yours and order theirs. $24.95 per subscription, CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Order four and get the fifth one free. For credit card, visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio listeners are reaching out to bring America home.
And we have returned. You're listening to CSU Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann visiting today with Marita Noonan. As we were talking about the fracking in the water, and they're not allowing the recycled water to be used as agriculture. If it came from the ground, it ought to be okay to put it back on the ground, I would think. But
well, it's that nasty water. First off, it also contains some chemicals from fracking, and it's not water from our aquifers, from our drinking, the water table. It's deep down, miles down under the earth, and it's got like mainly so much salt. It's got some other metals and other things in it, but it's got a lot of salt in it, and you just can't put that salty water on the soil.
When they're mixing it with good water, and you say it's 3-1 at this time, and then they're going to try and increase that, are they doing anything to purify it other than the mixing?
Oh yeah, that's the whole point, is the technologies that are now available that purify the water and recycle this water. And there's in the column I address two specific types of technologies that are new. And I personally just love it when industry comes up with a solution to a problem on their own without government mandate. They're doing it because it's safer, and the new technologies are able to make it economical, because what they're doing with the salty water is they previously been injecting it, again, miles underground into what are called saltwater disposal wells. And it is believed that that's what's causing the spate of earthquakes, particularly in Oklahoma. But hauling that water away from the well site and to the injection site and so forth has a lot of cost to to it. So this recycling that they can do on site, they can bring the equipment, mobile equipment, to the well site and recycle the water there, clean it, purify it on site. They're now able to do that cost effectively.
I was going to say, it makes it economically effective for them. And of course, you know, it's and that's what I liked about the article as well, is that you can see the entrepreneurship of the American industries, you know, where they're really trying to make things better for their industry, and in doing so, they make it better for all America.
Energy exactly.
Makes America
now,
great.
now they can provide usable water. They can take water that was not previously usable, that was a nuisance, that they had to figure out how to get rid of it. They can now recycle, clean that water, and that water ideally is going to be able to be used for agricultural purposes.
And I think we're going to need it because, you know, we're talking about some cycles taking place, and I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about what some of the scientists that are following the weather, they're saying that we're heading into a cycle where, you know, not unlike what the Dust Bowl was back in the day, as way before years in my time. So
yeah,
fortunately. I think we're going to want and need some other ways to provide water and food, and because some of the places that are they're normally lush and productive are not going to produce near as much, and I think we need to be aware of that. It's not climate change. I don't believe in that, but I do believe there is a cycle of things, and I think
El Nino and La Nina or whatever. I always get those two mixed up, but
yes.
we're all aware of those.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you haven't had a whole lot of time, but I wanted to, just before we finish today, I wanted to talk about Paris just a little bit. Now, Marita's been on vacation, so she hasn't had a whole lot of time, and there's not been a whole lot come out yet because of the attack and everything. So we're kind of waiting. I'm seeing a few things now. I've got a headline here that says, it's got some of the ridiculous history that President Obama was saying is, you know, giving to climate change, but he's also, I've got an article here that says Congress isn't going to fund some of this green climate stuff. So we're going to see what happens here. But we haven't heard a whole lot just yet.
Well, most definitely. I mean, we had both the House and the Senate passed legislation, which, of course, Obama will veto,
yes,
but saying that they will not fund the climate fund that President Obama is committing us to. And they're saying they will not fund that. And like I said, well, Obama will veto this, we know, but it sends a strong signal. They both did this, both the House and the Senate did this, knowing that it would send a signal to the talks in Paris. And those of your listeners who are interested in this topic might want to tune in on Thursday to my little radio show, or you can get it. You can listen online or podcast it later. They put it up a little later in the week, but as soon as we are off the air today, Beth Ann, I'm going to be recording an interview with James Taylor from the Heartland Institute,
yes,
who is over there in Paris right now.
Yes, he is.
And I'm going to be talking to him from Paris and get that firsthand report of what's happening in Paris. But I do know that the climate campaigners, as they're called, put wanted posters all over the area where the conference is taking place in Paris for people like James Taylor, who are there as the so-called deniers. And you know, they're trying. I love it because it draws more attention to the fact that that there is another view. While their goal is to scare these people and have them not, people like James Taylor, have them not be able to have a voice. In fact, it draws more attention to them. And so I'm excited to hear from him directly.
Absolutely.
What he has to say.
I've talked to many of them there from the Heartland Institute, and I've been visiting with them, and we're going to try and get them on as a regular here at the CSC Talk Radio. But I know that Jim Lakely is over there in Paris as well, and
right,
so they are covering it, and they'll have a lot to say. And they already have,
yeah,
actually, but they'll have a lot to say when they come back. So that's exciting for you. Good, you know, good for you, girl.
Yeah, and I will see, but I assume that this will end as every other conference has ended. You know, they do this annually. And every year we go through kind of the same pattern of all this excitement and enthusiasm and, oh, yeah, we're going to get this done. And then by the end, nobody can agree on anything, and they come out with some document that they can say, look, we've all signed this document, but the document just says, in essence, we hope we'll be able to do this. You know, it's not legally binding, which is what they're after. And of course, they can't produce a legally binding treaty, which is what they really are after, because Congress will not approve it.
Absolutely not. I'm glad they won't.
Yeah.
So they need to hang in there and hang tough. And that's one of those times when we need to call and let our representatives and senators know, you know, thank you. Thank you. We're always giving them heck. We need to give them a little pat on the back when they do well. So anyway, we will see you in January. So you be sure to have a very merry, merry Christmas.
And likewise. Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you so much, and hope that you also have a wonderful Christmas.
Awesome. Thank you, Marita. I appreciate all that you do. Marita works very hard to bring America home and make America. She's not making America great. That's somebody else that says that. But energy makes America great, and she does a great job of studying the legislation and all that's going down. And it's going to take every single one of us to work together to bring America home.
Michael Kaufman isn't holding back, but speaking the truth. Truth is tough, and we have a lot to learn here. Radical Islam is not knocking on our door, but is in the house, and a very real threat to America. What is Islam, and what is the true belief of those? Are they all radicals? Is there a soft side to Islam? Dr. Kaufman's book is a quick study and will reveal much to you, helping all of us understand the threat of Islam to our United States of America and our American way of life. We are/were a Christian nation. Why are our leaders denying this? Is there a plan to take America for the global Islamic state? Yes. Order now. $13.99 includes shipping and handling. P.O. Box 73, California Mo 65018. Or order online at csctalkradio.com. Oh, one more thing. This book is made in the USA. Order your copy today of Radical Islam in the House. Only $13.99.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Pen is here. News hot off the presses. The Pen is the bi-monthly newsletter for CSC Talk Radio. Beth Ann and friends have packed it with information you won't read in the paper from the corner newsstand. News, opinions, and insights. All packed into this economical read. Just $24.95 will buy you 6 issues yearly. Common sense is what we speak, and it's also what we write. The Pen is a compilation of many writers. We know you're going to enjoy. The news these days isn't easy to digest, but it is necessary to keep informed, and that is what we at CSC Talk Radio strive to do, serving listeners in every way. Order your subscription today. Send $24.95 to CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018. Keep informed. Send $24.95 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, and request your subscription to The Pen today.
CSC Talk Radio is making available 2 pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rulebook is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that our states' rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSC Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri, 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of power.